Blog Talk Radio.
That is my cue. Welcome, everyone. You are listening to This Week in Health Innovation on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Greg Masters, the creator, producer, and co-host of the broadcast. And also in the virtual studio is my colleague and co-host, Dr. Phil Marshall, co-founder and chief product officer of Conversa Health, an innovative patient engagement and digital health checkup company. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Greg. Nice to be with you.
And I'm glad you're here because, as you know, we are waiting for our guest, Rob McCray, to join us. And momentarily, we expect him to dial into the show. Let me tell you that This Week in Health Innovation is brought to you by Health Innovation Media, where we monitor the innovation impulse from idea to business model. So, Phil, I am broadcasting today from Marin County. We have an absolutely beautiful day going for us, and you are in Portland. What's happening up there?
Yeah, in fact, Marin County is the current headquarter location for my company, Conversa, and I'm in office number 2, Portland office, where we're enjoying a great day. So, Greg, you know, it's interesting when things like this happen because it gives us an opportunity to talk about what's happening. And so let's go ahead and while we're waiting on Rob McCray today, let's just talk about some of the things that are happening in the market and gives us an opportunity to really kind of spread our wings a little bit and go outside of the script. What do you think?
That sounds good. So what's up for you? What are you seeing that's caught your attention this week?
Greg, there's a lot of things that have caught my attention, and it is a very active market right now when it comes to investment in particular. And one of the things that I'll look forward to talking with Rob about today, since he has such a great handle on M&A activity in the healthcare IT space and helps facilitate a lot of connections between businesses, between people, and all of that. I'll look forward to asking about some of this, but there's a lot that's been happening in the public markets and in the private capitalization markets that are, I think, very interesting. In the last 4 months, we're just kind of getting 2014 underway, I suppose, but it's been a really active one in this space. If you look at the public markets and you look at what's happened with Castly in particular, but also around IMS and Everyday Health and others, there is a lot of excitement about the potential for healthcare IT to help us to achieve some of our broader goals of more efficient and effective healthcare and eventually lower cost. And then that all trickles down. When capital markets are more lucrative, then there's more venture capital activity, there's more money coming into the sector, and we're seeing that really across the board. We're seeing it in multiple domains, whether it's provider organizations that are undergoing M&A activity, whether it's big data plays like IMS, but there's also been some other major M&A situations there, whether it's connected health, and by connected health, that could mean doctor-patient connectivity, it could mean wearable devices, and consumer health as well. And then you've got the idea of basically service-oriented architectures like health clouds that Castlight is now saying that they represent. And so there's a lot of activity in all of those all of those sectors, and there's a couple of these that have really caught my eye, and so I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about them.
Well, let me stop you there, Phil, because you're on a roll. But I think. Let me just make sure. Rob, are you with us?
Rob McCray is here.
Okay, great.
Good morning or afternoon.
Good morning. At least West Coast time. So, Thank you, Phil. And Rob, welcome to the broadcast. Before we I kick it over to Rob to for the two of you to chat, let me tell the audience that we are speaking with Rob McRae. Rob is the president, CEO of the Wireless Life Sciences Alliance, also known as WLSA, chairman of the Alliance for Healthcare Foundation, a special advisor to Triple Tree LLC, member of Midmark Corporation Board of Directors, member of the Board of Directors of Connect, and an active advisor to several companies. Rob McRae leverages over 25 years of experience as a business owner, senior operating executive, and legal and transactional advisor to private and public companies. Rob served as president, COO, and early investor in Digital On Demand, Inc., a retail services tech company that operates under the brand name Red.net in chains including Barnes & Noble, the formerly known Circuit City, Best Buy, Blockbuster, and Fred Meyer. Previously, he served as chairman and president CEO of HealthCap, Inc., a venture capital-backed physician practice management company, and returned 90% CAGR to its investors. Rob also served as managing director of Caremark Physician Resources, directing its formation during its initial high-growth years prior to sale to MedPartners. He also co-founded OnCall Medicine, a medical house calls company. Prior to his success as a business operator, he was a managing partner in his law firm and a partner in a predecessor transactional legal and consulting services to the healthcare industry for over 20 years. So with that as the background, Phil, over to you.
All right, Rob, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. And that Rob guy must be really old.
Well, I'm glad that you were able to join us today. You saved me from what would inevitably have been something embarrassing that I would say on my own. So I'm glad that you made it. So I've been researching your background, learning more and more about all of your activity, and something really strikes me that's somewhat unique for our guests here on the show, and that is that you know, not only you know, did you sort of challenge your own livelihood as a lawyer to really spread out and work in the business sector. But you really, it seems like to me, focus on connecting businesses, connecting people, and doing so through your various efforts, including the entire idea of connected health. And so I think this could be really interesting because right now is such what seems to be a hot time in investment, in investors and entrepreneurs coming together, in M&A activity, and even in healthcare IT IPOs. And so I'd like to start by asking you, as you sort of step back from the industry, and you know so many of the great players here, we have various sectors within the healthcare and healthcare IT space. We have providers that are organizations that are emerging. We have big data. We have connected health. We have patient engagement within that. We have cloud-based services like what Castlight represents. Which of these sectors excite you or interest you most?
Well, I'll turn on the head. I think it's the retail sector, and it's the consumer health sector. You know, I was listening to some of your comments and agree that as capital markets become interested in a business sector, then it motivates a lot of people. It motivates venture capital. It motivates entrepreneurs and scientists and researchers. We all respond to what's happening in the capital markets and how those companies are talking about the reasons for their success. But when I've come to the conclusion that the problem with healthcare is we have too much of it, not that we have too little of it. And, you know, for 40 or 50 years, we've been focused on extending insurance coverage for more people for more services. And at the end of that period, we spend twice as much as other rich countries as a percentage of our GDP, and we have worse outcomes. So I look at this problem and look at the technologies that are available and really historically what we have done in this country, and have reached the conclusion that by engaging the consumer in her own health and her family's health, and providing the tools to understand what's happening with your own health, to understand the cost, the quality, the problems associated with traditional health care, and adding to that the financial incentive to act, that we can achieve this, you know, transformation of the American healthcare system in a way that makes it a true world leader. And that involves this concept of the engaged health consumer. And when it comes to consumers, the retail sector has more to do than healthcare.
I think that's really interesting. And so I'd like to really drill down into that retail notion, because it really does run up against what people say is who they trust most in healthcare, and that is their physicians. And so the traditional care environment is what people state is what they trust the most. But it is being challenged from a volume standpoint and from an insured standpoint. We know that there's likely to be a 50,000 primary care doctor shortage within the next several years if things stay the same as they are right now with the traditional visit structure. And so let's talk about how retail might challenge that. Tell us a little bit more about what you're seeing from a retail standpoint. We know that, for instance, on-site clinics and retail clinics are changing, where Walgreens just divested of Take Care to merge it with CHS to provide employer-based clinics. We know that Rite Aid just bought Health Dialogue to broaden their direct-to-patient services in that arena. What are you seeing in the retail sector that excites you most?
Well, so let's not talk about the sector yet. Let's first kind of focus on what healthcare is trying to accomplish. And healthcare is trying to accomplish a change in the growth, a reduction in the growth of chronic diseases that are driven by, you know, lifestyle and behavior. The connected health, wireless, digital, mobile health sectors are creating apps, products, services, technology-based products and services that, you know, show promise of empowering individuals, you know, with assistance to actually better manage their own health, to avoid the need for health care. So this opens up the opportunity for the retail sector because, you know, number one, the customer is a consumer, you know, not a patient. And in that consumers are driven by and motivated by a purchase decision. It's something that they want. Patients are ordered around and you know, that works well inside a hospital or a clinic, but it demonstrably does not work for most people in their daily lives who have to be motivated by something. It's the consumer sector that can motivate things. And at the same time, many of the products and services are being distributed through more traditional retail channels. And as you mentioned, CVS and Walgreens, the retail pharmacy chains are, first up. And because they are this bridge between traditional retail and the healthcare system, so we're being retrained to go to these stores, to go online with Amazon and buy our blood pressure cuffs, our glucometers, all of our supplies, direct at retail. We don't get them from a healthcare provider. We get them from a retail outlet. And it may be the same order in which you've, ordered a book or a television from Amazon. So we're retraining. And as we do that, then the retail sector sees, wow, there is money to be made in selling these health-enabling products and services to consumers. Let's pursue that. It's a really, really big market and a really big opportunity for them to increase their revenue, I guess at the expense of healthcare. Because if these things are successful, what do you need? You decrease the demand for healthcare.
That's interesting. So while many people might see these retail settings as simply more convenient conventional care, you see them as more disruptive than simply that. And so I'm wondering, as we think about the role of the physician, as we think about the traditional system, the costs in healthcare. You already mentioned that we pay about twice as much in healthcare as any other country and don't get nearly as much in return, and physicians are up in arms over more regulation. I would submit that, you know, if it weren't 18% of our gross domestic product, perhaps we wouldn't apply as many requirements on them. But how do you think that the regular physician, that primary care doctor who's seeing 15, 20 patients a day, is going to change to fit into the new environment?
Yeah, they're probably seeing 25 to 35 patients a day, you know, for most of certainly primary care. And I think what changes for them is that over time they see same number of people, they're just sicker. So they're actually, you know, moving upscale in terms of application of their full training and experience and working as part of systems, and maybe they've created themselves, that uses what they call extenders, and the rest of us, you know, would call, you know, staff members with lesser training and probably more focused jobs to support patients in, you know, many of these more mundane needs. They'll spend less time in documentation, I think. That's probably one of the biggest problems they have right now in their practical lives, is the kind of the state of healthcare IT record keeping for and billing for doctors is such that it's, you know, imposing more time commitments on them and taking them away from practice. But fundamentally, the care transformation is see sicker patients, spend more time with them, and find other ways, have other people spend the time needed with individuals that that don't need physician care.
So supporting that ability for physicians to see the patients that need to be seen and not just seeing patients as a matter of routine, there's obviously a technology intersection there. You already talked about electronic health records and how difficult those systems today are used, at least if you read the recent research on physicians that have been surveyed. And so there's going to be change there. There has to be change there. But there's also so many other technological advances that are helping to identify those patients that might be having difficulty, might need to be seen. You've been very close to the Scripps Institute, Dr. Eric Topol, and some of the great work that has been done in using wearable technology. We recently have talked with various experts such as AliveCor and others that talk about dermals and even consumables that can help to enable better insights into patients' health and give a heads up on when patients are having trouble. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts as to the direction of the wearable market and and how the data from that environment might impact care.
Yeah, so let's use cardiac health as an example. And when you think of wearables, I think of anything that can be, you know, readily, you know, carried around with you, whether it's actually, you know, worn or if it sticks to your body like a patch, it's, you know, on a band. Or, you know, frankly, if it's in your phone. So AliveCor's ECG is, you know, so convenient, you keep it in your pocket. That's, you know, that is virtually wearable and good enough. And the important thing here is that by moving this sensing out into the consumer world, into our everyday life, we're able to build a history of these vital signs. And as you do that, you can be sensitive to trends. In some markers there is a clear indication that at a certain level of blood oxygenation you have a serious problem. But in others, it's really more of the trend. What is happening with your blood pressure over time? What is happening to your heart? How often did those heart rhythm incidents happen and when? And capturing those in a way that allows you to anticipate a problem is where you get the full advantage of these wearable sensors, because by avoiding a, call 911, go to the emergency room, you've saved tremendous amount of money and pain and suffering, and shifted the treatment to a model that is more traditionally therapeutic and or intervening before the crisis happens. So that's the power of wearables.
Lower cost. Yeah, and inevitably lower cost care as well. And so there's a lot of technologies that are being watched there. There's wristbands that will actually measure your caloric intake and what exactly it is that's now flowing through your bloodstream as a result of that KFC bucket of chicken you just ate. And there, on the other end, there are large companies that are really interesting to watch in this area as well. For example, Facebook and acquiring Protogeo, Apple and Healthbook, that is anticipated with the next operating system, IBM and Watson and what it's doing. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing as far as interest in these large companies, and are they going to be the ones that drive the next generation of healthcare connectivity and patient engagement?
I think they'll be part of it. And you already mentioned some examples. I thought the PricewaterhouseCoopers report they issued a couple of weeks ago, looking at the Fortune 50, pointing out that 14 of the Fortune 50 companies are healthcare organizations, but of the rest, 24 of the 50 were non-healthcare companies, which, with what PricewaterhouseCoopers characterized as major initiatives in the health or healthcare market. And, they cited a few examples in the report. And that's, that's telling. That goes back, Phil, to your comment about the importance of capital markets. If the biggest companies in the world are starting to pay attention to healthcare, which is 20% of our spending in this country and probably 8%, 8-10% worldwide, that is a big thing. You cited some examples, and there will be others. But it's infrastructure itself. Everyone has a stake and a role to play in the consumerization of healthcare, which takes it out of narrow vertical dominated, fairly non-competitive environment into one that that takes advantage of all of the other enabling technologies and distribution platforms that we have created.
So one interesting stat there I picked up on was from the PricewaterhouseCoopers Fortune 50 review. You said 24 not in healthcare but have major healthcare initiatives going. I want to ask you about a related topic there. Castlight recently had its IPO. It now advertises itself as an enterprise health cloud, as opposed to a cost transparency solution. And so I want to ask you, and by the way, I'm a little bit interested here because of my own background and having overseen products and strategy at WebMD Health Services, where we did provide that sort of enterprise cloud environment for employers and health plans. So I've been pretty close to it for a while, but that IPO was remarkable. Yet it looks like when you look at how they're going to have to sell into those enterprises, that's a takeaway business. It's not old greenfield. And so I'm wondering, as you look at that, if that is reflective of what we're going to see in 2014, what do you like about it? What do you not like about it? What's the role of the enterprise in driving healthcare transformation?
Well, so I think, you know, Castlight itself was, I think that their new characterization, their self-characterization is aspirational, as you pointed out. It's not, you know, it's not reality. And, you know, it was a tremendously, I guess, how would you say it, well-valued IPO for the selling shareholders.
I'd say that's fair.
Is that fair? I think that, number one, I think that's great because it does show this enthusiasm. Maybe it's over-enthusiasm. I have no personal opinion, but, you know, you like to see that enthusiasm. It does reflect, you know, what's going on in a larger environment. What the Fortune 50 companies are doing is more fundamental because, you know, when an AT&T or a Google or a CVS Caremark, you know, makes significant investments and now is out there in public with its shareholders, with its investor analysts, with the analyst community saying, we are committed to a space. You know, they don't do that lightly, tends to have some traction by the time they've gotten to the point. They're not all successful on every one of those initiatives, but, you know, there are years of effort, research, and work behind these. So enterprise, you know, at that level is extremely significant. In this world of connected health that's more consumerized, these tools, you know, the products and the services and the applications and the platforms, they just become part of our environment in the same way that the entertainment alternatives that we have are just part of our environment. They are everywhere. And
some would argue
winners.
That.
Go ahead.
Some would argue that enterprises, because they are no longer sort of a single source of your health insurance, that is changing. You're no longer bound to your employer's health insurance and their options because of the individual market, and more employers are turning towards that. And so one could argue that the enterprise's influence over the individuals' healthcare choices and the technologies and services that they use is actually going to become more limited as opposed to more expansive. And so, you know, as we look at whether it's Castlight, whether it's Kies with gamification, whether it's WebMD Health Services or these other entities that provide enterprise health solutions, is the influence of the enterprise on its employees and the services that they use going to continue to be really all that important?
Well, now, are you talking about – so enterprise as employer is one thing. Enterprise sort of – you know, generally, I guess, is another.
Yeah, and I'm really referring here to the influence that an employer would have over the health choices of its employees.
Got it. So probably over time that declines, you know, partially because as there are, you know, if the exchanges work, if there are alternative sources for comprehensive health care coverage, then, you know, some enterprise employers will choose to get out of the health plan market. They won't run their own. You know, within those that employer, you know, sponsor plans that continue to do so, you know, I suspect there will be a dichotomy, you know, sort of separation of ones that have more comprehensive, all-inclusive plans and ones that really just, you know, provide a menu of services as an employee benefit and say, you know, go at it. And I don't think it's clear, you know, certainly not all organizations are going to go in the same direction on that decision. But
there are certain things that, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, in general, the consumerization of healthcare, which is already happening, you know, we're so much more financially responsible today, even as insured families, than we were just, you know, 5 or 8 years ago. In general, that means that it's, you know, more up to individual markets, individual families making the decision on where to get their coverage. So I think that is a, you know, that seems to me to be a trend that ends with either this kind of market that we have for insurance working better or, you know, a couple of alternatives, you know, which, you know, both of which a lot of people hate, which, you know, one being sort of a you know, a government-run program that, you know, covers everyone, at least as a safety net, or another where, you know, an awful lot of people are just left out of the equation of, you know, coverage and, you know, easy access to health care.
And you really see connectivity by consumers and patient engagement and the services that support that then as really being an equalizer for patients to become more equal partners in their care, be able to shop around and be able to get more equitable care, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, the way things are right now, I think price transparency and quality, you know, just outcomes transparency for hospitals would, you know, do as much to change consumer attitudes about what, you know, what they ought to be doing, the choices they face, than anything else. And that, of course, coming back to Castlight, that's what it's after. But it's
very good. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, well, that is actually a great place to wrap up. Looking forward to a more equitable healthcare system empowered by technology. Rob, thank you so much for being our guest today on This Week in Health Innovation.
It's my pleasure.
And there you have it. That'll be the last word. Just an awesome exchange today. Thank you, Dr. Phil. Thank you, Rob McRae, for showing up. And Rob is the president and CEO of the Wireless Life Sciences Alliance. They're actually holding their conversion summit here in San Diego next month. Member only meeting on the 14th, general membership meeting on the 15th and 16th at the Omni Westin in San Diego. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Next week we will be broadcasting live from the World Health Congress Second Annual Leadership Summit on Integrated Delivery Systems. Join us then. I'm going to snag someone from the floor and we'll have another informative chat with my colleague, Dr. Phil Marshall. Greg Master saying, bye now. See you next week.